bring in our Swiss Army knife of the Register Guard, talking multiple duck teams, catch his work in the sports section, catch up online, visit registerguard.com. On Twitter, use the handle at @SteveMims_RG. Steve, always appreciate the time. How have you been?
I've been good, Steve. Good to catch back up with you.
I saw what you tweeted last night about that 2K Classic that's going on in Manhattan. It's Washington represents the Pac-12, and next year the Ducks are going to be part of it. It's a great event, raises money for the Wounded Warrior Project. But I'm curious, you've traveled a lot with the teams you follow. Have you ever been to Madison Square Garden?
I've not been to the Garden. I've been on a grade school field trip to New York, but that was more of a historical one, not a sporting event one. So, no, I look forward to going there. I've never been to the Garden.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I guess we're going to have to put my emotions aside for now since it's a year away. But so last Friday, the opener at Matt Knight Arena against Coppin State, and I get coaches like to move forward. Last season is a memory, and beyond Pritchard or Smith, it's a lot of new faces. But it's the first time the Oregon fans had gotten to see their guys since February before that unbelievable run. I guess what was the word or maybe your thoughts on the fact they didn't really acknowledge in any way the greatest season in program history?
Yeah, I felt like that was maybe the marketing people dropping the ball on that one. I mean, I wouldn't have expected Dana to, you know, I mean, like you say, coaches turn to the next season, but I would think the marketing people and, you know, people like that who want to kind of get the fans excited for a non-marquee game that was going on there, that, yeah, if you just said, hey, we're gonna raise the banner and we're going to, you know, have kind of a tribute to that team up on the video board put it before the game, you might have gotten a few fans who showed up to reminisce. And so I was a little surprised by that, but not at all surprised that Dane Altman brushed it off and just felt like, hey, let's move on. But I guess I thought the school might jump in and say, hey, let's do a little something here to remember that and generate some excitement here.
I was out of town. I only caught the highlights and actually your report. And they did win by 16. They had a huge lead that cut down. And if I read right, Coach Altman had to put his regulars back in. So after the game, what did he have to say about that? And I guess he was less than pleased with certain things on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I thought that, and we've kind of gotten used to him, early in the season saying things like that. The one thing he said that I thought was most interesting was he said basically – they played worse in the first game than any of their three scrimmages. You know, they had kind of the exhibition scrimmage and then a scrimmage against Oklahoma and Vegas. So I thought the interesting to me was he was making the point that, you know, now that the lights came on and it was certainly a game that was counting, it seems like suddenly some guys weren't playing kind of as free and as easy and communicating as well as they had in some of the other ones. You know, they had kind of had three chances to play together. It just was a little bit different in that one. And so I'm not sure, this margin of victory went up in the next one, but we're not going to learn a whole lot from this team these first four games. I think that was kind of their intent, was to make sure they didn't schedule anybody who could catch them off guard and give them a scare, because they wanted to get to 4-0 to PK Invitational and have some, four games to kind of work things out. And I think if you ask them right now, they'd say through two, they're maybe not quite to the point they'd like to be.
Yeah, you mentioned who they're playing. And, the next game, they got the home win streak to 44, and granted, Prairie View A&M hasn't had a winning season since 2010, but I again read what you wrote, and maybe with what Coach Altman had to say, was he a little more pleased with the second game? What were some of the observations there?
Yeah, I think they felt like it was a little better there. Again, the starts haven't been great. Then these teams have, kind of been hanging around for a little bit, and then Oregon kind of kicks into gear. And the first game, they got it up to 29, and then, like you say, the league got back down to 12, and the starters were back in. So at least in the second one, when they got it up to 29 and 30, they were able to extend it and just turned into a blowout. So I think if nothing else, you like the way they finished that game more than they did the first.
With the guys who left for the NBA after the Final Four, and how excited folks are about some of these outstanding freshmen like Troy Brown or Kenny Wooten, I think it's safe to say they're going to need a jolt from the transfers. One is a Chicago guy, Paul White, who came here from Georgetown. So in his debut, Steve, what kind of game did he have, and what are the coaches saying maybe about the kind of player they expect him to be?
Yeah, it was too bad. The first game he missed, and it turns out he had a foot injury, which he battled injuries all last year. foot injuries early in the season always scare you. Just ask, Scott Pagano on the football team. It's kind of one of those things that can linger a little bit. So I think they're happy to see him come out and be able to take on quite a few minutes in the second game. He had 16 points, 7 rebounds. He's definitely shown through exhibitions and stuff. He's sort of a stretch four. He's a guy who can go out and hit some threes for you, which is great. I think now they want to see if he's also a guy who can get in there and be a rebounder and maybe somewhat of a shot blocker for you. I don't think they have visions of him being kind of guys they had last year, but at 6'9", he's one of the guys that's going to have to get some rebounds for this team because there's just not a whole lot of size out there. So Dana Altman said yesterday, he's a guy who can get in there and bang a little bit. Dana wasn't thrilled with his defensive speed in the last game, and he kind of got beat on a couple of blockouts and a couple other spots. So it's the kind of comments, it's kind of at this time of the year, it seems like everybody, when they get a compliment, there's also, they're not doing this either, though. So there's been definitely some of that with Paul.
Moving to football. As we continue with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, while locally we focus on the Duck angle, one of the best stories in the country has been Khalil Tate. He was the backup after four games, and now he's in the Heisman discussion. I saw you, I listened to you and Ryan talk about him on your press box segment. So, well, what's been the word about just how amazing this guy is and maybe what Oregon needs to do defensively to limit the damage?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable because I think most people, like us, when you're watching the Ducks, it just feels like Arizona's kind of had a lot of late-night games on the Pac-12 networks. I know the nation hasn't seen them, but it feels like until last week on the bye week, even a lot of their games were starting kind of right when the Oregon game was ending or something. So I think a lot of people are like me and just haven't seen, a whole lot of Khalil Tate yet and looking forward to see him out there on Saturday. Oregon hadn't faced a whole lot of running quarterbacks this year. There hadn't been a whole lot of those in the Pac-12, and Manny Wilkins certainly did a couple things on the ground against him. So it's interesting. It's sort of like, you've been preparing for pass team, or, the running teams have been guys with Bryce Love and some running backs like that. This is kind of the first time Jim Leavitt has to turn around and really worry about a running quarterback on the other side all year.
I thought you guys brought up another good point, because we get Oregon just needs a win to become bowl eligible. But even in the absence of Justin Herbert, they got that one win, which kind of matters. So I guess in the scope of where they are, there's a big difference between winning just one of the next two or both, as far as, I guess, where they end up and how this season might look in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's 6-6. They may not get one of those 7 Pac-12 contracted bowls, which means you're kind of you're looking for openings, and you can't be real picky about it. Like I mentioned the other day, there's a possibility going to Fort Worth and playing Army, or going back to Shreveport, Louisiana, which was great in, 1990 when Oregon hadn't been to a bowl game in forever. But I think fans are trying to stay a little bit closer to home than that. So, yeah, I think if you can get the 2 and get to 7-5, opens up your possibilities to, I think the Vegas Bowl is a little out of reach, but maybe the Cactus Bowl, just at least something that keeps you on the West Coast, gives your fans a chance to travel.
And lastly, Steve, of course, the return of Justin Herbert, and of course, getting your starter back is big, but in this case, the Arizona defense has shown some vulnerabilities, but the Oregon offense, let's face it, they were one-dimensional. So could we overestimate the upgrade and kind of what this offense is now with their top gun back?
I don't think so. I mean, what was it, the last four games, I think a total of under 200 yards passing. And I think other than that, Utah won 4 of those 5 games without him. They scored 17 or less. So, no, I don't think he can. I mean, I think the whole scope of this team changes when he comes back there, and in terms of the confidence in the offense and the defense, feeling like suddenly, they can give up a touchdown and it's not going to be sitting there playing from behind the whole way. So, I think it's a huge deal for them. And, I think that when Justin comes back, I'm interested to see if he can get right back on the same page with those guys. And then how much, does Oregon change its offense around a little bit, at least to, get him a little bit more out of harm's way. They've kind of insisted they won't. It'll be interesting to see if they do.
Wow. All right. I'm going to vote do. He's Steve Mims, folks. On Twitter, it's Steve_Mims_RG. Obviously, you can catch all his work in the Register Guard, online, registerguard.com. Steve, appreciate the time as always, and look forward to chatting you up a little bit tomorrow.
Sounds good, Steve. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Take it easy.